Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast.
With who?
With Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Monday, January 21st.
Ooh-wee.
I almost said 1987.
It is 1987. I am a 1.5 month old baby.
The year is 2096.
Dun, dun, dun.
Rock music has been outlawed.
Got a big week ahead of me.
You do?
I do.
In what sense?
This Friday. The new Kingdom Hearts game comes out.
Ooh.
And I am going to be having a little shindig. My friend is really into it. And,
oh.
We're going to play that game for 8 hours after she gets home from work.
And are you, have you played the other ones?
Like most of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
My husband Eric is playing through 1 and 1.5.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
So we'll probably have to... Well, this is good. Then we won't have to buy it when it first comes out.
Yeah.
I'm really behind on video games as it is.
Oh, man. It's tough.
I also own NBA 2K19 and have not... I've barely played it.
Yeah.
They update rosters, right?
They do. Yeah, you can get an updated roster. And speaking of updated rosters...
Well, it's one of them is going to have to be updated.
That's right. Because... bow, bow,
bow. You heard it here, 7th.
stay, ME7O... has headed his way to the Windy City, the dumping ground of any contract that is bad.
What are the Bulls doing again?
Well, I mean, they're getting money for this. They're getting money. And then they're waiving him as soon as he...
And this was a trade for Carmelo?
So they traded for Carmelo.
What did they give Houston?
My guess is nothing, but like a highly protected second round draft pick is usually the answer, or like the draft rights to Vladislav Romankiewicz.
And for by they're getting money, you mean they've got like cash considerations with Carmelo?
Yep.
And they're going to waive him.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then we specifically talked about not speculating about where he's going to end up, mostly because it's just sad.
Yeah. I mean, yikes.
I think sometimes when people as fans react to the game, I think sometimes we think about like what we would do if we had that person's capabilities.
Okay.
And I think one thing that's frustrating for people about Carmelo is that maybe this year he was genuinely done physically, maybe last year with OKC he was, but even 2 or 3 years ago, there was a phase where I kind of thought, hey man, what if you kind of like change up what your game is a little bit to kind of accommodate your skills as they are today versus 10 years ago.
Yeah. And he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Right? He couldn't do it. You know what that means?
What?
Carmelo is Blockbuster.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Yeah.
And
LaMelo is Redbox.
I mean, yeah.
If that may be too big of a jump.
let's just go with like... I don't know. Who's somebody that did change over time and like has gotten better over, like maybe Vince Carter is Netflix.
I mean, Vince Carter, I would even say, Richard Jefferson.
Richard Jefferson, a big Netflix kind of guy.
Guys that kind of found a way to be like the, I mean, honestly, they found a way to be the old guy on the team.
Yeah.
And I think that they also brought something. My assumption is they brought something to the team chemistry or locker room that also made it like beneficial for them to be kept around.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Carmelo, even as a microcosm, that one quote where he's like, oh, they're asking me to come off the bench.
I never come off the bench.
Not the best sign.
I never come off the bench.
Right. Well, you're completely off the bench now.
Yeah. I mean, there may not even be a bench for you.
Yeah. I bet we could find some other good examples of, you know, you could argue Arvydas Sabonis had a good sunset considering his entire NBA career was the sunset.
Yeah. He played in the sunset of his career in Portland.
Yeah. I haven't kept up with really what Dirk is doing.
Dirk is sunsetting just fine.
Yeah.
Like he's not playing great, but he's playing like 15 to 20 minutes for the Mavs and doing some like Dirk shots.
Yeah.
You know, just really, just riding it into the sunset.
And also not demanding for any more than what he's getting.
No, exactly. He's riding off into the sunset. Dennis Smith Jr. is riding off into the sunset. You know, All of these sunsetted stars.
Dennis Smith Jr. literally just came from the, immediately rode from the sunrise into the sunset.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, he's on one of those, he's probably up in...
he's on the planet Mercury.
No, he's at the North Pole in the winter.
Right.
In that the sunrise and sunset are so close to right. each other.
He's only, the sun's only up for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing to kind of put in our we got to talk about that, the Dennis Smith Jr. drama.
Unfortunately, I have not kept up a lot with this.
Well, let me get you informed. Let me get you up on the page here.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What was Rick Carlisle apologizing for?
To Dennis Smith Jr.?
Uh-huh.
All right. That will be answered as the story is revealed.
Okay.
Listeners to the Rule of Threes podcast, welcome to story time. There was a young, brash, brazen rookie point guard drafted by the Dallas Mavericks, Dennis Smith Jr., last year. And they drafted him, and he was just fine. He was very, very, you know, low efficiency, kind of learning how to play on the court.
Right. Managed expectations for a rookie.
Exactly.
But played, had a couple highlights.
Big dunker. Big yeah. dunker. You know, a passionate player, somebody who, you know, somebody you want on your team. However, the Mavs still were not good, and they were in the lottery, and they made a draft day decision to select the rookie of the year, Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this man has gone out of control. He's a superstar. Okay,
yeah, out of control by meaning he got ejected from the game.
Oh yeah, totally ejected.
Ferociously kicking a ball. If you watch the replay, he just like kicked it like it was a soccer ball.
Yeah,
like,
I mean he's a Euro guy.
Euro guys just kick the basketball. They do kind of like dribble the basketball a
yeah.
lot.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So there has been some tension over the two-headed point guard machine in Dallas, because Dallas has obviously and made it very clear that they prefer Luka Doncic's style of play.
I would say that the world has made it clear.
Yes, the world has made it clear. The entire world has made a decision on
who is better.
Yes. And that doesn't fit so well with DSJ.
Mm-hmm.
He is a little upset, so he has spent 5 or 6 games away from the Dallas Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with an injury, with a stomach flu, but with what is actually just him being upset with his role and his plans on the team. And all the public stuff coming from Dallas is like, we love DSJ. We want him to be on the team. We love him. But the rumors are that behind closed doors, they're working as hard as they can to trade him because they don't believe in him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened now is there was a phone call summit between Rick Carlisle and Dennis Smith Jr. And, you know, they're rapping to each other on the phone like, hey, we want you here. We love you. And he's like, well, I don't feel like that's true. I feel like you're doing stuff behind my back. But apparently something was said in the middle of that to convince him to come back, which was probably, we can't fucking trade you if you're not here because you have no value if you're not going to show up and play the game.
Right.
So maybe he gave him a little business talk and was like, you know, you gotta do this and we'll try our best to get you in a position that's best for your career.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It certainly is a bit of a bummer for, you know, Dennis Smith Jr., mm-hmm. right? Because he's not bad. He's just not nearly as good as Luka.
Yeah.
Right?
I haven't watched enough Dennis Smith Jr. Does he play the same kind of point guard play that Luka plays? Like, is it impossible for them to be on the court at the same time?
So, the way they play is different, but they both play in a way that is pretty ball dependent,
uh-huh.
right? So it is tough for them to be on the court at the same time. And their pairing, you know, via Synergy Sports stats has not been productive.
Right.
So they've been, you know, staggering minutes. And of course, when you stagger minutes, somebody's got to have more, somebody's got to have less.
Yeah.
And DSJ has gotten the short end of the stick, not being just that he is shorter, but also that he is playing less minutes.
And they literally gave him a stick.
Yeah, they gave him and it was tough because...
Well, they were like, go play Quidditch. And he was like, no, I don't want to. This is dumb.
That was the 5 or 6 game. You know, he was out playing Quidditch.
World Cup.
Do you think... what do you think? Would he be a seeker or would he be like a defender? Like, here's the thing I don't understand about Quidditch.
Why it's anything?
You like obviously somebody who's not a sports person made it the game of Quidditch, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the big criticisms of Harry Potter is that it's so clear that J.K. Rowling doesn't really care about sports that yeah. the descriptions of the them and the rules around it are just completely nonsensical. There's no reason to play the game at all.
Ever.
Except to have a seeker yeah. try to get the snitch.
Yes. Snitch. Snatch. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Don't, like, if you win, if you catch the golden snitch, you get like a million points and win or something.
Is it something like 150?
Everything else that has happened doesn't matter.
It's like the game theory is all off. It's like, it would be just as weird as if, like, I don't know, in overtime, only one team ever got to shoot the ball on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's like that first team made a three-pointer, like the game was over.
It would be like if in overtime, one team got 16 free throws in 5 minutes. And one team didn't.
Yeah, weird. weird how that happens.
So anyway, Dennis Smith Jr., second year point guard. Again, I will stand by my statement that you have no idea what guards are like for the first 4 years.
I mean, you
look at D'Angelo Russell.
Look at D'Angelo Russell.
40 points. You know what he has in his veins?
Ice.
Also blood. But he's got blood. A lot of ice. He's got ice.
Man, I remember watching him get that ice in my veins shot at Summer League. Just the swag was dripping yeah. off of his shoulders.
On like I saw online recently a discussion of like who's going to be the best player in 10 years. And it was actually a tough list because it was like D'Angelo, De'Aaron uh-huh. Fox,
yeah.
Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
And like two other ones where it was all like I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because D'Angelo Russell might end up being the best player.
He might.
Out of that little crew.
I mean, I like De'Aaron Fox too, you know?
I like Lonzo. Lonzo's been playing well lately.
Ugh. So sad.
But until his injury over the weekend, he has raised his game.
Yeah. It kind of brought a little bit of a swagger, a little bit of an interesting setup. I mean, you know, of course, you know, you can't talk about Lonzo without talking about his huge, huge deficiency at the free throw line.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I guess, like, what if, DeAndre Jordan could pass? Like, that's the Lonzo story, right?
I guess. So, wait, let's go back to Desmond Jr. So, okay. If his style of play in terms of ball usage, like, really does conflict with Luka, and then maybe they should move him. And they should, because it's clearly like Luka is their player of the future.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So it's very likely that, not likely, it wouldn't be crazy for Dennis Smith to just find a better fit. And, you know, I think there's very few players that can just succeed without regard to fit.
Yeah. Like those are the players you have to like fit around because they're so good.
Yeah. And what's even harder, I think, is that there are some players like Russell Westbrook, where you can fit your system around them, but then you're not positive that it's going to take you all the way.
Yeah.
So you might be maximizing everything you can get out of Russell Westbrook, but that still might not be enough to win a ring.
Yeah.
And it might compromise your ability to get other players to play well. So this is all just so hard.
It's wild out here.
You know what? It's harder in real life than NBA 2K19.
I agree. Yeah,
it's easier to win an NBA championship in NBA 2K19. You know what's a game that's hard to win the NBA championship in?
Quidditch World Cup for PlayStation 2.
Yeah, and Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, Kingdom Hearts 3, yeah, I guess that's
tough game to win NBA championship in.
Hey, they should definitely have a Final Fantasy NBA crossover. I'm here for it. I mean, that is like my two interests colliding intensely.
See, my two interests would be if somebody would help me program my 5-on-5 basketball game that uses Dota 2 as its movement model.
Yes, yes.
Which I think would generally be very fun.
The clicking. So much clicking. And everybody's clicking all over
everybody's
the place.
Everybody's got, in my game would be abilities, but you know, they're actually called abilities in Dota.
Yeah.
But you know, you have an ultimate, all that stuff.
You have to go back to your bench and buy some Gatorade from the...
That's right.
From the treasure chest man. I don't know.
So we talked about Carmelo. Talked about DSJ.
We got some Lonzo news.
Lonzo sprained his ankle.
He's got a bad ankle sprain, a real bad one. Couldn't walk off the court.
Off for 3 to 6 weeks.
That's a big ankle sprain.
Yeah,
right. A month and a half at the max on that ankle sprain.
I think
because Lonzo hasn't shown that he's can come back quickly from his injuries. When he's out, he's out for the full
Yeah, he's actually not shown to be, and this is not good or bad, but he's not he's actually not like a hot and cold player. Like he seems to, over the course of game, like three games, start to get into the groove of like, hey, I'm playing a little more aggressively.
Yeah.
He really doesn't have a high variance from night to night.
No, I mean, it seems like it's always like 12 to 15 points and like six assists and yeah. like five rebounds. Like that seems like Alonzo line.
Yes. You know, one thing that did hurt me over the weekend
Ooh.
Was that near the end of that game against the Rockets, they really could have used some defensive rebounding.
Yes, they
and
could.
And I thought, this is where you miss him on the court.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a big body for a point guard, and he swallows up rebounds.
He's a good rebounder. When he and Josh Hart are playing guard, they have a really good defensive rebounding core.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Yeah, and that would have helped at the end of that game.
Yeah,
series of annoying sports experiences this weekend: watching that game and then watching the Patriots Chiefs game yesterday.
Oh God, I have stuck with my I'm not watching football this year, but I did check the score as it was happening.
Yeah.
And I was at a Target and getting ready for my soccer game. And I was like, people were talking about it. I heard it. I heard the whispers of the people walking through the aisles.
I went into a bodega to buy a Diet Coke, and like six people in the store were all like turned looking at it. And I was like, oh, what's going on? And then I ended up watching the end of the game there.
Sorry. I'm really sorry.
And it's just like, I actually don't care about football, but for some reason I do not like the Patriots.
Yeah, because you're an American.
Yeah.
All right, you're an American.
Yeah, although I do have a TB12 workout shirt.
You got to. I mean, the man knows how to work out. He's 75 years old and he's still a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I don't know if you guys out there know Tom Brady's like workout philosophy, but it's a little weird.
It's a little weird. It's called Scientology for athletes.
That's kind of what it is.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not lying.
It's like, don't work out too hard. Focus on like your muscles being soft and supple.
Yeah.
And he really like focuses on like massaging.
Wait, Tom Brady, do you want me to fuck you?
Yeah, man. Who was, I'm trying to remember who the Patriot was that I thought was very cute.
Oh,
Logan Mankins?
Logan, that sounds like a Patriot. Logan Burkhart? No, Rex Burkhart was their running back.
I don't know. The equivalent, the Patriots.
Logan Mankins is an offensive lineman. He's your kind of guy.
First of all, it's always an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
The Patriots equivalent of Jeff Saturday. That's whoever that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, cool. Then it was definitely Logan Mankins.
So I was watching that Lakers game and I was like, I specifically don't want to talk about this game very much on the podcast.
Okay. Then we don't have to talk about it because it's your trigger game. This is the game that's like gets all your blood boiling.
It gets a lot of my blood running in a lot of different directions, but I have to remind myself also that I'm not taking this Lakers series in very seriously.
We're not taking it seriously. We're sitting here and we're taking the pledge. I mean, and we're putting our fingers behind our back and we're not taking it seriously.
Do I still think we should sell high on Kuzma? Yes. Yes, I do.
Oh man, but he's so good now. He's better than he was.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Oh,
sell high. Okay. Sell high.
You everyone should just see the grin on Chris's face.
It's games like
sinister.
This that you should be shopping him. But I will say that I think this Lakers season actually has a good chance of working out great. Because let me tell you
what.
First
talk
of all,
to me about draft picks.
Well, first of all, I have to make a confession that I was going through old emails.
Okay.
And I had tickets to Lakers Pistons that I completely didn't use.
Oh, no.
Isn't that horrible? It's a horrible feeling.
Yes.
So basically, all the Lakers tickets come from this company called Axis, AXS. Yeah. Except for, because I'm on the season ticket waiting list, a couple of tickets I had were purchased through Ticketmaster and were sitting in a Ticketmaster account. So I get emails from Axis being like, hey, you remember you got this like Lakers Thunder game coming up?
Yeah.
And I sold those.
Yeah.
So I was going through an old email that was like, confirmed your tickets for Lakers Pistons. And it was like November 23rd.
Oh,
or
no. Because the whole year on the podcast, you've been like, I only buy them for after the New Year's because that's when I like.
Yes. Because I was going into my ticket account and being like, yeah, that's what I did. That's not what I did.
Oh, no.
So I missed out on some tickets. It's a big shame. I regret my life. Luckily, they were not super expensive because they were Pistons tickets.
Yeah.
And actually, so that's good. And I did remember my other tickets.
Yeah.
Which are Lakers Warriors.
The game just went final.
Oh, yeah. Tonight's game?
Tonight's game.
Lakers came back to win.
The Lakers came back to play Isaac Bonga.
What was the final score?
130 to 111.
Okay. So I think this Lakers season might go great. And here's how.
Okay.
I think that First of all, we all know they're not going to win the championship this year, even with a full health LeBron. They're not going to win.
Yep.
So I think this year, LeBron can kind of take it easy. You know, save some gas. Personally, I'm okay if they miss the playoffs. This saves him miles of like trying to put, because I do think once the playoffs kick in, he will play a lot.
Yeah.
So save some gas, take the summer off, get in the lottery. Let's just see what our chances are. I don't know who the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth prospects are, but
if they're good,
if you're in the game to get a Zion Williamson, get in there.
We all want Zion, but everybody forgets about RJ Barrett. You know who he is? He's the guy who people thought was better than Zion.
Is he also on Duke?
He's also on Duke.
Yeah, okay, right.
So like, and he's from Canada.
There you go.
Wow.
So we could miss the playoffs. We could that. Second of all, I am sort of now on the bandwagon that I do think they should have a different coach next year. I don't think it's an emergency. I don't think Luke's a terrible coach.
Okay.
But I will say that between the game this weekend and several of the other Lakers games I've seen over the last couple of weeks, they don't seem super high IQ prepared in important situations.
Yeah.
There were two very bad possessions at the end of that game in regulation.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was in regulation or overtime, but there were some very bad possessions. And I don't mean bad like we took a shot and missed it. I mean like mentally they were not prepared to do what they needed to do. They also at times were not even prepared to foul when they were supposed to foul.
Yeah.
And weren't responding in a way that like because Walton got ejected, but whoever was like, the players are just not responsive to coaching in a way.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah. No, that's a bad sign. I mean, God, that's so tough, right? Because I mean, I certainly know how my brain gets when I am playing sports.
Oh, for sure.
Right. And it goes to jelly very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, you're concentrating on not getting blocked.
Yes. That's the only thing I worry about.
Right. Of course, like I know for sure from playing sports because I fatigue very easily that I think we all know that feeling of playing a sport, getting fatigued and literally like mentally breaking down.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You want everybody to be prepared, but like on the second half of their second straight overtime game in 3 days, like that's just so tough to like put that on. Like, yes, they should know. I feel like
They were without Lonzo at that point.
And like,
and already without LeBron and Rondo.
Without LeBron, without Rondo, without Lonzo, without Luke. Like, you know, yeah, I think they should have won that game, but also, fuck, it's just hard.
Yeah. I think what I mean is that whatever combination between coaching and player personnel, they didn't have like a baseline of like, here's how I manage the last 90 seconds of a 3-point game.
Yeah.
And I fall back on that. Even if there's no coach telling me what to do.
Yeah.
Like there's certain teams. I feel like the Celtics are like this and the Warriors can be like this. There's certain teams like they know when to take 2-for-1 shots.
Yeah.
With 32 seconds left on the clock.
Damian Lillard knows it.
It's just automatic. Like it's not even a thought.
Yes.
And that's, you know, whatever. Also, I just think there's probably like player fatigue of just hearing the same coaching voice over and over.
That too.
And I don't think that Luke is such a great coach that we need to hang on to him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, does his tenure with the Lakers at all like go into your thought about this? Like, I got to keep him because he was a good Laker and he won some championships. And
no, I don't. But I know that matters
in
the organization. So, you know, is it a question of like, you know, do we have him, you know, we lose him and then we, you know, that's also the mentality that got us Byron Scott.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I think this season actually might work out fine. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you watch any games?
I watched Boogie's return.
Hey, speaking of the hottest team in the league.
Hottest team in the league.
Like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, we were like, the Rockets are the hottest team.
Yeah, because they were.
Utah has gotten very hot.
Utah got super hot. Brooklyn and Indiana have been hot recently. Mm-hmm.
But there is no hotter team in the league right now than the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I guess there is one hotter team. It is a team of 5 James Hardens.
No.
They don't.
No.
I mean, he just scored 30 points for the 20th straight game.
Good for him.
You hate him so much.
I just if I despised Stephen Curry with all my soul,
yeah,
and hated the Golden State Warriors and couldn't stand the way that like they got treated and all that stuff, it would still be undeniable that like he fucking makes three-pointers and runs circles around and like just that's the way athletes win haters over.
Yeah.
Is they just do undeniably amazing plays. Even the fucking New England Patriots. Yep. Like they make plays near the end. You're like, well, there's really nothing I can say about that.
That is
he
true.
Made that play.
That is true.
None of that reasoning applies to James Harden. Because in an overtime game between them and the Lakers, I literally see him drive four times in a row and get fouls. Those aren't plays where I'm like, whoa, what a master. I'm like literally looking at KCP with his hands above his head running alongside and they call a foul on KCP.
Yeah.
So anyway, the hottest team in the league is the Golden State Warriors.
Golden State Warriors, they have been on fire. Draymond Green has been participating in team activities like someone who can get two technicals in one game and not get ejected.
did that happen?
Yes.
How did that happen?
Yeah, sort of. So like apparently when you hang on the rim after a dunk, it's a like a team technical.
I see. Not an individual.
Not an individual technical. And everybody was confused as hell.
What was the boogie game? Who did they play that?
They played the Clippers. They were in town. They played in the Staples Center, and it was a whooping. It was mm-hmm. an ass-whooping, and Boogie was making threes. Boogie made three threes in that game. He was 3-for-4 from downtown.
Oh.
You know how many threes the Golden State Warriors have made since they started their championship run?
How many?
5.
Really?
Yeah. So you know what that means?
What?
That Boogie, in one game where he fouled everyone 700 times,
uh-huh.
made more threes than every other center for Golden State
combined. Oh, center. I didn't hear you say the word center.
Center. I said the word center. Only centers. Because their centers don't make threes until now. I feel like they've just opened like the secret door on the Voltron machine to like, oh, now we got another sword. Oops.
Uh-huh. I watched... I'm trying to figure out which of these games I watched of theirs, but I watched like a full chunk of one of their games.
Yeah.
And I was like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Draymond is shooting shots.
Yeah.
And I stated before,
it doesn't matter if
they go in.
No.
But he has started to take jumpers.
Yeah.
And it was, first of all, insane how open they are.
Yeah.
Second, started to distort the defense in a way that made it like, what's crazy is that they are.
Do you ever think he like jumps like Mario?
Like
he kind of looks like a stunted more jump. Of a, like a, just like a.
Yeah, but he has such a wind up.
Yeah.
He doesn't even seem really like a fast twitch athlete.
No.
He has a very.
Not on offense. On defense, he
on defense, yeah.
Yeah.
He has a fast. I feel like on defense, he has a fast brain.
Yeah.
So I forget what game it was, but I watched a like maybe a 20 possession chunk of a game of theirs where I was like, this is. You know, this combined with Boogie coming back is about to make them nearly unstoppable.
Yeah.
Because if he can just make one out of four jump shots when he takes them, it's bad news. But good for them. I love their brand of basketball.
Good.
I do you not like it?
No, I mean, yeah, I love it. I'm just like, I'm happy for you. Good. Like well, I don't want you to be, you know, stuck with basketball you hate. I want you to have basketball you love.
When they break down a defense... It's amazing how like it ends up with just like a guy into the basket by himself hitting a layup. Like it's such a surgical dissection of people's defenses sometimes.
Yeah.
They actually, it's not that common for them to have like prototypical Jordan Kobe-esque plays where it's like, yeah, I fucking manned up and like shot over three guys and was doing a fall away, except KD sometimes.
Yeah, and even then, like that's a last resort kind of thing. It's not their option. Like they're like, all right, we got nothing. Like, KD, do it.
They kind of do have this thing where like it's and KD has the game to do that.
Yeah, and he also like there will be times when it's like KD hasn't done anything in a while. He should do something. Let him do something. But he also, you know,
he deferred.
He gets involved in the offense too. It's like it's not like. He's just only there for himself.
He also like willingly deferred to Curry.
Yeah.
in that, I believe it was a Dallas game, where he just went crazy.
Oh my God, like 50 points basically.
And also, KD plays good defense.
Yeah.
Like, he shut down Harrison Barnes at the end of the Dallas game.
Yeah.
I mean, he like bothers people on defense.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a 100% consistent effort, but he has the skills to do it.
Yeah.
How's Boogie on defense?
Not great.
Yeah.
And he's going to be even tougher to like hide because he is fouling at a rate that is absolutely unsustainable right now. And he's not game ready for defense yet.
Yeah. Do you think the fouls are like a fatigue issue?
No, I think it's like a, I think it's less a fatigue issue and more a, I don't know, being slow issue and just being like, also all the, it's all the refs' fault.
Right. I think that, I think it's bad news for the league because, he's their mascot for the year.
It's like, wow.
Well, because they have said they want to get him a ring. They've kind of said that we don't think we're going to be able to sign him.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to be able to come back.
Yeah.
So it's like, here's a real short-term goal. And it's, and for a team as jaded and as they are,
yeah,
I think a short-term goal is very good.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, because if they get it this year, it's a three-peat. And they're not actually allowed to do that because the Lakers trademarked that. So
right. They're not allowed to say it. They just got to say, we won three consecutive times.
And we are all of three their, guys.
Yeah. All of their interview answers have to be really stilted to avoid Pat Riley's trademark of that.
Yeah. Well, that's tough.
Yeah. I think was today the day that All-Star voting ended?
Today is the last day of All-Star voting. What people aren't realizing is that All-Star voting is neutered.
Yes.
You know,
this is different than before, right?
Yes. Last year was the first year they did this.
Okay.
Where All-Star voting is 50% fan vote, 25% a media vote, 25% player vote for the starters. So whoever is leading in the fan vote may or may not actually be the starters when they are announced after, because it's only 50% of the vote.
Now, if you're leading the vote, what's the likelihood that you even get, like, can you not be on the team?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's rough.
Definitely. So, like, if you're the top vote getter, and then let's say, like, for some reason, Alex Len was the top vote getter. Because somebody decided that Alex Len wanted to be a forward in the East and whatever.
Right. Okay. Also, very likely, and depending, you know, with the block of voting that's going to come from whatever country Alex Len is from.
Yes, exactly.
Which is?
I'm going to go with Georgia.
That sounds pretty good.
I am probably wrong, but like Ukrainian. Skidishvili was the last Georgian player in the league.
Oh.
Yeah. I can say that because I don't know if I'm right or not.
That's actually a tough thing to say. He was the last anything of the, you know, because there's no, you have no idea if somebody snuck up from the G League that was also from Georgia. I'm trying to see if I can find latest All-Star returns. But anyway, the point is that even if Derrick Rose ends up being voted in, or some crazy thing, like when Yao Ming was, which is sort of what I'm referring to, Yao Ming got to be a starter because of a gigantic block of voting from China.
Yeah.
If that had happened this year and he was a rookie or whatever, there's a good chance like media and certainly player vote would like suppress that.
Yes, definitely. And that I think is what people were just worried about, somebody taking over the fan vote. Like, cause it was the Zaza almost got voted in. Because Zaza Pachulia is also a Georgian.
Hey, is he?
I don't know. But
you know who are all honorary Georgians? All of the Atlanta Hawks.
That's true. That is very true. Zaza Pachulia is a Georgian basketball player. Hmm. Damn. And he was drafted a year after Nikola Skidishvili. I can't believe it.
Wow.
Can't believe it. I have been disproven by myself on my own podcast.
Yeah. Skidishvili, people had high hopes for it.
They did. They really wanted him because he was so tall and he just did not pan out. Also, yeah, he's like a little handsome. I don't know.
Conventionally people would
conventionally handsome. Think he's handsome. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly I want to like, shout out our friends on the NBA is Ruined podcast for their Boogie Week. It's Boogie Week for them because they're big Warriors fans. Matt and Naomi are want to say shout out to them for their, you know, happiness with Boogie, because they've loved Boogie since before he was a Warrior.
Oh, so, really?
Yes, they have. Yeah.
Huh.
So this is a big week for them.
Yeah, I don't see any big problems with them integrating him into their team.
No, I mean, he's great, and they're going to be great, and it's going to be fine. And you know, we'll see how who can fight against them, because you know, it's funny because Denver, who had been on top of the West for the entire season, mm-hmm. They have historically never played well against the Warriors. Mm-hmm. Right, the Warriors have always been able to just whoop them up and down, and. It happened again a week ago, and mm-hmm. that was you get to watch Jamal Murray get ground into dust.
Oh yeah,
love it, love it.
Just to give you a little update, third fan returns for All-Star voting from this is like 3 or 4 days ago, so there's probably another round.
Yeah, there coming soon. Another results coming through.
Total vote leader,
LeBron.
LeBron James, just behind him for total votes is
Giannis.
Giannis, in the West. In the West, who's second in the front court category?
Second in the front court in the West is going to be...
Also weird that this guy has a positional conflict with somebody we previously discussed, wow. Considering he's been voting in as a forward.
Wow. I don't know who.
Rookie of the Year.
Luka Doncic.
$3.3 million. So voted in as a forward.
Yeah.
Then we got Paul George, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis. Okay. Steven Adams bringing up number six.
Ooh.
In the West.
He's so good. I got to talk about Steven Adams in a bit afterwards, but.
Sure.
Yeah.
Guards in the West.
Yes.
Number one.
Number one is Stephen Curry.
Number two.
Derrick Rose.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I've been paying attention to
number
this.
Number three.
James Harden.
Yeah. So this is why we know James Harden is not liked. Derrick Rose is above him. And then Westbrook, Klay Thompson. Lillard, DeMar Rosen, and then clearly the eighth best guard in the West.
Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo Ball.
That's right. That's my guy.
Eighth best guard in the East, Jeremy Lin.
That's my guy too. I was wearing my Jeremy Lin jersey yesterday after, it was my Houston Jeremy Lin jersey because Houston beat the Lakers, and I was like, I got to atone for my sins.
Pay homage.
So I put my Jeremy Lin jersey on yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously this voting's weird. The fourth best, you know, highest vote forward in the East is Jason Tatum. I guess that's not that crazy.
That's not that crazy because he, one of the reasons people like him is because he's friends with Toothless, the dragon from How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you've seen those commercials where he brings Toothless, the dragon from How to Train Your Dragon, to a press conference with him.
Wow. Is Toothless the main dragon?
Toothless is the main dragon in the movie series How to Train Your Dragon.
Why is he called Toothless? See, I know he's missing a wing or something.
He doesn't have any teeth.
Oh, but he's also got a broken wing. Have you seen these movies?
No.
Yeah. And how there's a dragon that the guy rides, and he has to build him a prosthetic wing.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well,
right? Have you seen these movies or not?
No, I swear I haven't seen these movies.
Yeah, exactly. I have. I've seen one of them.
I almost like poker bluffed you out of knowing anything.
About I was like,
I like didn't even do it right. I was just like, I don't know. I've never seen these movies.
I just want to point out a very strange vote drop off in the Eastern front courts, which is Giannis with 3.6. Kawhi. I was calling him
KY Leonard. KY Leonard. He'll get your offense going smooth as butter. has anybody ever called him that?
No, they should.
Oh my God. Yeah, we got a new, cause he's a smooth guy. You know, if that court action is not lubricated, you're not using KY.
I mean, he doesn't chafe against teammates.
Not at all. Let's just say, if you need to slip and slide down that court, you put on some KY and you're ready to go.
Yep, and working on his core because he's got ribs.
He's got ribs.
Kawhi has 2.8 million.
Okay.
Joel Embiid has 2.2.
Yeah, and then
Tatum has
896,000.
826,000.
Damn, I was close.
But that's a super bizarre drop off. Well, it's just a drop off representative. People are like, okay, the forward should be Giannis and Kawhi, and the center should be Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Like, and then everybody else is like, doesn't matter who else.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, actually, that sounds about right. And then just to recap what we've talked about before, none of that matters. They're going to pick.
So it's not that none of that matters. It's that they normalize the ratio of selections to be 50% of the final count and then 25%.
Oh, that's not what I mean. I mean, they'll compile all the votes and stuff like that, but none of these conferences matter. They will do the draft.
Okay, so player draft. So starting does matter.
The starters have to be
picked first. You draft the starters first, and then you draft the reserves.
And do you have to draft position first?
No, position doesn't matter.
Okay, so they literally could draft five guards on a team.
Yes.
Out of the pool of both conferences.
Yes, but the reason that they can't do that is because the two top vote getters are both forwards.
So there's only...
And also because there are only four guards.
But you could put it this way, you could pull five front court players.
You could pull five front court players. Okay. Yes, you could.
Interesting.
It'd be fun if LeBron just picked all four of the guards.
Yeah.
And then...
as center?
Yeah.
Yeah, and sure, then, why not? And the top two vote getters will have the picks.
That is correct.
Cool. Sounds fun.
So it'll be...
And we're going to see it this year.
Yeah, and LeBron is... I think we're just excited to see Giannis in front of everybody, like, trying to be funny. He's like, have you ever seen him, like, be funny on his Instagram or, like,
anything? No, I've seen him be kind of funny in, like, pressers.
He's so cute at it. It's, like, funny because he, like, has, like, you know, a pretty good grasp of English, but he's also, like, goofy. He's like, I don't know. I remember this one video where he was, like, on Instagram Live with his girlfriend, and he made a sex joke that made her so embarrassed, and it was very funny. I gotta find this.
How do they pick who has first pick between the two guys?
Top.
Okay, then I'll tell you who the number one draft of the pick will. I already know.
Oh, Kyrie.
No.
Oh,
Lonzo
Ball.
There's no way this cannot be LeBron's first pick.
Okay, LeBron picks Stephen Curry? I mean, no. Really, I'm like amazed. Who will it be?
I will bet $1,000
okay.
that the first pick of the NBA All-Star Draft this year by LeBron James will be Dwayne Wade.
Oh, but he has to be a starter.
Oh, but he's number two in voting in the guards right now.
Yeah, yeah, but he's not going to get voted in as a starter.
Oh, God damn it, because of the fucking media and the players.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The players might put him up there last year.
Yeah, I mean, they won't. It won't happen. The media won't do it either.
God damn it.
So here's the
thing. Imagine the great sentimental pick of that happening.
But that doesn't mean that he can't still pick him as the first of the reserves.
Cool. I know, but it would have been cool if he made him the first pick overall. Yeah,
that would have been cool. But
so,
it's not going to happen.
Because the media will probably vote Ben Simmons and Kemba Walker over Wade.
Yeah, and Kyrie over...
Well, Kyrie's number one.
Yeah, so
yeah,
he'll Kyrie and Kemba or Ben over Dwayne.
I could actually see the players boosting Wade up a little bit in his last year.
Yeah, because they make some dumb decisions. Like, the returns from their ballots last year were awful. It was very funny.
Yeah. And also, I can see the players not voting Ben Simmons up.
Yeah, because... Who cares about Ben Simmons, man? I don't know. I feel like he's got friends in the league. People like him. Like, he trains with LeBron. Like, people are into him.
And you know, that's the other thing that I think we don't... Another behind-the-scenes thing that we probably don't have access to is that people also make friends, like, through their agents.
Yeah.
And managers and all that stuff. And they hang out with each other and...
And he's Australian, so he'd make friends with, like, a New Zealander guy. You know, a guy like Steven Adams.
Would he?
No. I tried to transition and it was very smooth.
Oh, because you want to talk about Steven Adams?
Yeah. So here's my Steven Adams story. I had a dream. I had a dream where Steven Adams and I became best friends.
Ooh.
And it was great. And we like were hanging out and walking through like a farmer's market.
Okay.
And then we went on a hike and climbed a mountain.
Mm.
And then I watched him play against the Lakers in that overtime thriller. And I was like a little sad that he was fighting against the Lakers when he was supposed to be my best friend.
Oh.
It made me real sad.
Huh.
So that's my Steven Adams story.
A personal spiral of Casey Lawrence.
Yeah, I got emotionally confused because I was like, I had a great dream where he and I were best friends. I invited him to come on the podcast and he said yes.
Oh.
So if you hear this, just know, Steven, Dream You is going to be on this podcast.
Oh. Yeah, I tend to have dreams. I literally had a dream the other night about an improv show where I made a couple of smart, in my opinion, smart moves, and they weren't well received by the audience. And I was like, what's wrong with this audience? And then I woke up.
That's good. That's good.
I have a lot of dreams about how great my improv moves were, like in a show that's happening in my dream.
That's so funny. One of my teammates was very distracted at the show that we did together because she's a huge Superstore fan.
Oh.
She was like, I didn't want to like go up and like, you know, be like, and I was like, you should have. He would have loved it.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, so I told her next time she's got to come up and sure. tell you.
I'm always shocked by people even watch the show. I mean, even, well, this is the first time I've ever been, I've been on other TV shows before, but not consistently on like a network television show. Yeah. And so one thing that you don't realize is that like I did a part on Broad City and I'm really proud of it. I think it's a really fun scene. And a certain number of people saw it in comedy. And then a lot of people like that are agents and stuff saw like remembered me from that.
Yeah.
But in the real world,
yeah,
the number of people that recognize me from Broad City is zero. So
you're saying all the billboards that I see for Broad City around LA aren't like also in like Sheboygan?
If you've never been to Los Angeles, I cannot explain to you the billboard culture here, which just completely misrepresents what is important in media. Because by the billboards around here, you would think that like corporate from Comedy Central and lore from Amazon Prime are
people
like,
love corporate and lore. Don't you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, I've always wanted to watch corporate.
Yeah.
And sure. Lore certainly looks bad. So
the number of TV show billboards, and I haven't seen them as many lately, but the number of Las Vegas DJ, EDM DJ billboards.
Also the number of Shen Yun billboards.
And the number of quite provocative, like syphilis.
Shout outs to the AHF,
AIDS Health Fund?
AIDS
maybe?
Health Fund.
But shout outs to them being like very confrontational about how you are not getting tested often.
Gonorrhea ? I got my test 2 weeks ago.
I got one January like 3rd or 4th.
Yeah. Go get tested, people.
All negative.
Congrats. Hey, me too. High five.
Yeah.
We'll publish our results on the internet.
Sure. Mine are all in a like web login, so I'll just give everyone the login.
Seriously, that's exactly how I
mean. And I find that vaguely terrifying because like I might just log in and be like, you got it.
You
know?
Yeah, boom. Ba-boom.
you know, it's funny because we were talking for a couple weeks in a row about how the Western Conference is not going to sift out and settle in.
Feels like it's starting to sift.
Well, it feels like it's starting to sift. And specifically, I feel that because I feel that the Warriors sort of retaking the number one spot is kind of like enforcing a certain order on it. Because I was just thinking about like, you know, all these teams were up there, Oklahoma City, Denver, teams were out of the mix. Now they come back. It was all in chaos. And for all that, we're still at this point in the year, and Golden State has like the second best record in the league.
And they're best. Taking the iron grip of the Western Conference and solidifying it. It's like a sword that's vibrating, and everybody's like, oh God, we're saying it's an earthquake. And then they like grab the sword and it shines into place. And it's like, we're going to take over. And hopefully the mic picked up my big burp.
Is that a Kingdom Hearts reference?
Yeah, yes, it's Kingdom Hearts reference.
What's the name of that kid?
Sora.
Sora.
Yeah.
And the girl?
Riku. No, that's from...
we were watching... My husband is playing, you know, he's playing that game.
And half of the like the 1.5 remix is a movie.
Oh.
Which is ridiculous because like they take a game that they're like, this game wasn't that good, but we'll have all the cutscenes from this game and we'll play it for you.
Uh-huh.
Which is very funny.
We were watching something about Asian culture. And a woman's name came up.
Yeah.
And Eric was like, oh, that lady. And it's apparently the same lady that has sung all the theme songs. There's like a song in every one of these Kingdom Hearts games. Oh, God, and it's the same lady that sings them all.
Yeah, I can believe it. The girl is Kairi. So it's Sora and Riku are the two dudes.
Oh, Kairi Irving.
Kyrie Irving. Welcome back to the NBA podcast with Rule of Threes. Rule of Kingdom Threes. God damn it. Kingdom Hearts. Ah, fuck. This bit did not work.
So anyway, Golden State's got the third best record in the league. They have the second best, what do you call it, margin? I forget what, differential?
Yes.
Of the league. Just behind Milwaukee. Milwaukee's still holding strong.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a good point differential all season.
Yeah. Anyway, Golden State has won 7 in a row. They won 9-1 in the last 10. So they're doing fine. I didn't realize that Chicago Bulls won a game.
They did. That Jim Boylan contract is paying off.
Well, it's the news of them potentially getting Melo. It rallied them, and they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think this is going to be, first of all, I always love the way the Warriors play. I'm still excited. I am heartened that the Utah Jazz are playing well again. I like seeing them be good, even though I traditionally hate the Jazz. Even the Timberwolves are sort of back in like shouting distance of that eighth spot. I don't have a lot of trust in New Orleans. And much as I would like the Rockets to fall out of the top eight, I don't think they will. I want the Utah to get there. I kind of want Timberwolves to take that Clipper spot.
Yeah.
I'm fine with the Lakers drop out or stay dropped out. Whatever.
Okay.
I don't know. How else are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I made a couple of trades in my fantasy basketball league. I almost never make trades.
Let's hear these trades.
First trade I made was I traded Donovan Mitchell away for Zach LaVine and Serge Ibaka.
Oh, okay.
Then I did another trade. It was a 2-for-1 this time. I traded away Gary Harris and Jonathan Isaac for Brooke Lopez. So my three-player trade was I traded away Donovan Mitchell, Jonathan Isaac, and Gary Harris, and I got Zach LaVine, Brooke Lopez, and Serge Ibaka.
How are you feeling about it?
I'm in 10th place in my league. It doesn't matter.
10th out of?
12th.
Okay. And do you guys, in basketball leagues, you don't tend to do like a playoff, do you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a playoff.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
And is that playoff, is this head-to-head?
It is head-to-head. And I am just a little sad about.
Do they only take the top eight?
They take the top six.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's tough.
Yeah. I am probably not making the old. Probably not making the old bad boy happen.
How much money is at stake here?
I lost $50.
Eh.
No, it's not bad.
Well,
what can I say?
Literally nothing.
Literally nothing.
Casey, do you have any comedy shows coming up?
This week I am free from the scourge of comedy, I believe.
Oh.
I'm like getting to relax and not have to stay out so late every night.
I am in Magic to Do on Thursday.
Yeah.
I am in Baby Wants Candy on Friday. I believe that's all I got. Do you, any Mighty Night gigs coming up?
No, John, my guitarist is in Spain until Monday, so a week from today. So we.
What's he doing in Spain?
He's traveling, visiting the world, and trying to avoid having to go back to a middle school to do administrative work. Because
are you in contact with him?
I'm not in contact with him. Okay. I could send him a message.
Can you send him a message to try to see some Spanish magic?
Spanish magic. I will tell him.
One of the leaders in the world in magic right now.
Wow.
Spanish magic.
I'll send him a note.
Yeah.
Spanish magic, baby.
Okay. Well, I guess go see me in one of those shows.
Yeah. Or, text me if you want to come see my Kingdom Hearts party.
That's right. And email us at ruleofthreespodcast@gmail.com if you want to come to that Clippers game.
Ooh, yeah. We're going to be buying 17th tickets
or something like that.
Yes. 15th, 17th, 19th. It is in March. Yes, March 17th.
Well, I'll remember. But I know I said St. Patrick's last episode, but I got to remember.
It is St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, cool. So we're traditional green for the Clippers.
Fuck. Oh man, I'm so excited to wear a Brooklyn Nets jersey to a Brooklyn Nets game.
Yeah, cool, man.
All right,
see you next week.
Next week.